financial markets in turmoil.
What are the root causes of the financial crisis?
The dollar losing value.
Heading for its biggest loss in nearly three decades.
Will Social Security even be there?
I don't know.
Buy or rent?
That's a very good question.
Interest rates?
I'm not so sure.
Where do you put your money?
I don't know.
Welcome to the show that answers your questions. This is Follow the Money Weekly with your host, economist and best-selling author, here's Jerry Robinson.
Welcome, friends, to the only radio broadcast dedicated to bringing you more truth packed into 1 hour than the mainstream media gives you all week long. You're listening to Follow the Money Weekly Radio on the web at www.ftmdaily.com. So glad that you're here this Saturday morning. We have a wonderful show lined up for you today. I'm first going to be tackling a brand new service I am so excited about, a brand new service for those of you who have 401ks and you're frustrated with the returns you've been receiving. I'm looking forward to sharing with you some brand new information about a brand new service that my good friend Jay Peroni has put together. So that'll be in segment one. For those of you, by the way, who missed our webinar with Jay, we did a top 10 stocks of 2012, and these were PACE stocks, precious metals, agricultural commodities, and energy, and we listed our top 10 favorite stocks for the year. He picked five, I picked five, and we'll see who turns out better at the end of the year. We'll see. Very, very excited about that webinar. It's up on our website. You can watch it now completely free. All the stocks are listed right there. For our FTM insiders, by the way, we have an exciting conference call coming up this week. We're going to be talking about stock trading and swing trading. Looks like there's some really good momentum right now in the stock market, and many people are looking to make money through swing trading and stock trading, and so that's one of the things we like to do here at our organization. So we're going to be talking about that on Wednesday, so good stuff. In segment two, I'm going to be joined by Charles Goyette. Charles is a New York Times bestselling author. His book is entitled The Dollar Meltdown, Surviving the Impending Currency Crisis with Gold, Oil, and Other Unconventional Investments. When I read his book, I felt like I was reading my own. This gentleman has the same view in many ways as we do on gold and silver and oil and natural gas and just real things, you know, commodities, things that cannot be printed. And he writes about it extensively in his book. He's an Austrian economist. He's a student of Austrian economics, just as I am. I think you'll enjoy the interview. It went very, very well, and that's coming up in segment two. We actually recorded that one back earlier in the week. And we'll also be joined by Tom Cloud. I believe, actually, that'll be in segment one. And then, finally, in segment three, we'll be joined by John Burrs in the Retirement Minute. He's going to talk about, is it too late to put money into your IRA to make a contribution for last year? He gets a listener question that he'll tackle. So that'll be in segment three. So we have a really good show for you lined up. And I want to tell you about this new 401k service, because I remember whenever I was working a traditional job, I would have loved to have had someone who could provide me with insight on my 401k. The 401k in general can be a very complicated mess. Many people get confused by their 401ks. 401ks are notorious for not having very good investment choices. They're often very limited. This often means that people, perhaps they don't allocate their dollars very well. Sometimes they don't actually balance their portfolio on a regular basis. Oftentimes, they're way over invested into their company stock, which many people have been hurt by in the past. And, you know, let's just face it. I mean, many people are just not the best investors. Or how good of an investor can you really be when you're working full time and you're trying to earn a living to put food on the table? In your 401k, you go in there maybe once every year or maybe once every 3 months, you get your statement and you see how it's performed. Well, here's the problem. You know, once people actually reach retirement, they often depend greatly upon their retirement plans, like a 401k. And if you underperform the market by 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% on a regular basis, sure, you may have a good year 1 year. But if you're not performing at your maximum potential in your 401k, that can literally mean thousands and thousands of lost dollars over the course of several years. And so it's important that your 401k gets similar treatment to as if you had an IRA, you know, and you had it managed by a professional. Well, this is why I'm so excited about the brand new service that we are hearing that Jay Peroni is rolling out at the Faith-Based Investor. For a small monthly fee, he's going to provide you with an in-depth one-on-one consultation regarding your 401k, which I think is just phenomenal. He's going to sit down with you, first of all, and go over your 401k with you, tell you what your options are. Then he's going to take all of your current investment options that you could currently invest in, and he's going to filter them through a moral screen because, you know, he's the faith-based investor. So he's going to take a look at the companies and make sure that they're not violating any of your current values. Many people may be investing in stocks or bonds at their company and not realize that they're violating their own values and their own faith by the investments they're making. So he's going to examine those to see if they pass the moral filter and the personal values filter. And he'll have a meeting with you about that. Then he's going to create a customized investment plan for your 401k, and he's going to give you very specific investment recommendations. He's going to say, you know, put 25% here, put 15% here, put 40% here, and so on. On top of that, he's going to actively monitor your 401k, you know, obviously just keeping his eyes on it. And whenever he sees that it's time to sell a particular investment that he's told you to buy, or it's time to buy more of one, or maybe another one that he didn't even tell you to buy in the first place, he's going to send you an alert. So you're going to get an alert whenever it's time to buy or sell in your 401k. And you're also going to receive regular reviews by phone directly with Jay Peroni. So, you know, Jay's my stock guy. I like him. He's done well. He is actually, here in 2012, we're actually handing him the reins to our FTM investment portfolio. He and I are going to be working on building the portfolio even better to really outperform in 2012. So I like Jay. That's why he's on our network. I think he's got a great thing going on. I'm impressed with what he's done. I'm impressed with his record. I'm very, very excited. I'm a 401k service, finally, you know, because typically if you have a 401k, you don't typically get the kind of attention that other investors get. Because to be honest, there's really no way for an investment advisor really to make any money off of your 401k, and therefore they just don't really talk about it. They may look at it, they may, you know, give you a little bit of advice, but there's really no incentive for them to sit down with you and do that. So that's why he charges the monthly fee. And when I looked at his monthly fees, I was also excited because the cost is minimal given the return that you could have. Now let's think about this for a minute. The lowest level is $29 and the highest level is $69, and that's per month. Now you can pay up front for the whole year, $299 by the year on the $29 package, $699 for the year on the $69 package, and you save 2 months for free, or you get 2 months free. But the interesting thing about that is that really, if you spend that money, you're basically spending about 1% of your 401k per year. And so you have to ask yourself, can this service give me a better return than what I'm currently getting by at least 1%? And if the answer is yes, if you think that this service could potentially outdo your current investing strategy by 1%, then you won't be spending any money because it'll break even. But what if you get an extra 2, 3, or 4%? Well, obviously, then you're actually making money out of the deal, and that money is obviously going to be able to build and make more money on the inside of your 401k. And it's all about retirement, friends. I mean, I remember whenever I was doing personal financial consulting, it's scary. I mean, it really is scary as people are nearing retirement to see how little that they truly have socked away. And it makes you wonder, how are they going to pay the bills? Who's going to take care of them? And if you're someone who has a 401k, I'm not saying, you should definitely do this. I mean, you do your own due diligence and do what you need to do. But I want to make you aware. I want to sound the alarm on this because, the very least, me talking about your 401k like this for a few minutes on the show, it may actually cause you to say, I don't need that service, but I'm really going to sit down and really focus on looking at my investment options that I have in my 401k. I'm really going to look it over. I'm really going to take a look. I'm going to make sure I'm not too heavily leveraged in my company stock. Others of you may say, Jerry, I've been praying for a service like this because I don't know what I'm doing. And, I can't sit around and watch this stuff all the time. And I do need to make a good return in my 401k because time's a ticking. And, I need to make sure that I have plenty of money in that pot for when I retire. And so a trusted financial professional would be a good solution for me. So you may be one of those two people. But either way, I just want to bring it up because 401ks are in many ways the bread and butter of many retirees' plans today. Now that we live in this age of defined contribution plans, as opposed to the defined benefit plans that we used to have, the old pensions. Very, very rare today. So you're on your own, folks. You got to really go out there and do it on your own. And so any kind of help you can get, especially when it's inexpensive help, just is nice. And so I wanted to make you aware of it. I don't know if Jay's been talking about it on his show, but whenever I saw it, I immediately recognized the value of it. I realized what this was. And I tell you what, if I was a traditional employee working somewhere and I saw this service from somebody who had a good track record, I'd take them up on it in a heartbeat. You kidding? I'd give away 1% in the hopes that I would make more because that's really what it's all about. Somebody's got to be watching the store, and having somebody who you trust doing that is just a good idea. Well, I want to move into the whole idea of precious metals. Tom is working. By the way, I got to tell you this. Tom and I are working on a brand new website that he's going to be launching, Tom Cloud. Very excited about his new website and details on that coming soon. He's going to have a blog, and he's also going to be doing a little bit of podcasting. You're going to be seeing some of that on FTM Daily. I tell you, I've been telling Tom, people really enjoy listening to you on the show, and it would be sure nice if you had a chance to get on the radio occasionally and do some things in the middle of the week. And, I know many people would enjoy a midweek update. And so stuff is coming, so it's exciting to know about that. But wait, I want to bring him on. Let's move right in now to our Precious Metals Market Update.
Follow the Money Weekly presents your Precious Metals Market Update. Here's Tom Cloud.
This has been quite a week, Jerry, as we've seen the price of gold since January the 2nd go up 7% after going up 11% for all of 2011. So certainly we're seeing off to a good start, and what makes that really interesting is the dollar is up around 81.60, and we think it will probably peak out around 82. Certainly there's a chance it could go higher based on events in Europe, but for the short term we feel that once the dollar starts back down, gold will have another surge and probably won't hit resistance again until it gets around 16.68. So everything from the fundamental side to the technical side is clear, and most of the timers have given a buy signal and go now that it's back on the right side of the moving day averages. So gold, you should be in. You should be watching it carefully. We've got a couple of great specials that run through January the 20th on half-ounce gold eagles that are 1% to 1.5% below the normal price. These will be 2011s. And we also got a special deal from the Royal Canadian Mint to do 2012 Canadian Maple Leafs at about 1% below the normal price. So two great products that are available for sale up until January the 20th. And certainly we think that gold this year is going to have a 20% plus year with it being an election year. And you just can't get bogged down right now with a dollar this high because we don't believe it will sustain. Silver's been a little more interesting. We still are waiting on Tuesday and Wednesday. We had silver up over $30 all day, and in the last hour of trading, it fell down and closed below 30. And so we still don't have a technical buy signal, on silver, even though on Thursday it closed over $30, but we need a second day close on Friday, which, as I tape this late in the afternoon, is still below $30. So silver, though, certainly still has the leverage, and we're still looking for very high numbers of silver this year, as we still feel the most likely scenario is that this president will print money like crazy. I think the big week that's the news on the metals has been all the possibilities of things in Iran happening, and I don't think there's anybody out there that knows what would happen to gold and silver if there was some kind of military conflict between us and Iran or Israel and Iran. So that seems to be brewing, and you certainly have seen that in the price of oil that went up most of the week. So silver is still, for the technical people, it's still not quite an all-out buy signal, but for the ones looking long-term and don't want to miss it when it jumps a dollar or two real quickly, it certainly is a low-risk entry point right now. Platinum has made a great comeback this year. It's up about 7% also, and while it dropped a lot further than I had anticipated due to the fiasco in Europe and the possibility of a default in a slowing world economy, it did send palladium down, but I'm still and bought quite a bit of palladium this week myself, as I still think over the next 10 weeks we'll see palladium jump over 10% and possibly as much as 20%. So I like palladium right now. Platinum, even though it's had a great week and it's up about 5.5% for the year, I still have not given a buy signal on it. Still waiting on some economic data and getting it back and the day moving averages to give it a buy signal, but that probably will take place in the first quarter. It's not a bad time to add a little platinum. And in platinum, there's only two forms you can buy right now that we have available, because we don't have platinum eagles or maple leafs available, just the new platypus from Australia and then the COMEX 1 ounce platinum bars. But there's certainly some good product out there. But there's a lot of information coming out economically over the next few weeks. Figures from last year. We've got the debt ceiling about having to be raised again after what we saw happen on August the 4th. So there's a lot of news going to be for precious metals over the next 2 or 3 weeks that we think will affect them very positively. So just keep your eyes open. With this week's Precious Metals Market Update, this is Tom Cloud signing out.
All right, well, Tom Cloud is a precious metals advisor. He's been in the business for 35 years, and he can be reached directly at 800-247-2812. That is 800-247-2812. I encourage you to check out his specials. If you're not currently on his email list, you're missing this. And so I would encourage you to go to ftmdaily.com and click on the Precious Metals button and sign up for his emails, and you'll receive occasional specials that he has on gold, silver, and palladium, even diamonds at times. So 800-247-2812, that's Tom Cloud. All right, on the other side of this break, we will be joined by New York Times bestselling author Charles Goyette to discuss his book, The Dollar Meltdown, Surviving the Impending Currency Crisis with Gold, Oil, and Other Unconventional Investments. Hold tight, friends. You're listening to the best hour in radio. We return in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to Follow the Money. Now we have a question for you. What are you not hearing?
The weekly conference call with Jerry Robinson. Investment and income strategies every single week.
What are you not receiving?
The FTM quarterly newsletter.
What advice are you missing out on?
Access to the FTM investment portfolio and a subscribers-only section on our website, plus real-time buy and sell portfolio alerts.
If you haven't become an FTM insider yet, you're missing out. For only $99 per year or $9.95 per month, you get access to all of this. Plus, all new insiders get an autographed copy of Jerry Robinson's best-selling book, Bankruptcy of Our Nation. As an insider, everything you receive would easily total over $400 separately. Special offer. Jerry Robinson's new book is coming out soon, and it's all about how to generate multiple streams of income. Sign up to become an insider now, and you get a free copy as soon as it's released. Sign up now at FTMDaily.com.
Gold, silver, palladium. If you have questions about or are looking to purchase precious metals, there is one name to know and one name to call. Tom Cloud at 1-800-247-2812. You hear Tom every week on Follow the Money Weekly. And gold and silver are an excellent hedge against inflation. Tom Cloud has over 30 years' experience as a precious metals advisor. Don't buy your precious metals through a call center and pay inflated prices. Call Tom Cloud, 1-800-247-2812. And for a limited time, tell Tom you heard it from Jerry Robinson on Follow the Money Weekly and receive free shipping and insurance on your order. That's right, mention Follow the Money Weekly and your shipping and insurance charges are waived on your precious metals purchase. If you have a question about something you heard on the show, call Tom. And to secure your precious metals investment, call Tom, your gold guy, Tom Cloud, 1-800-247-2812. That's 1-800-247-2812. You heard it on Follow the Money Weekly.
All right. Well, one of the things we've talked about here on our radio broadcast quite a bit is the idea or the concept of what we call PACE investing. That is precious metals, agricultural commodities, and energy. These, of course, being safe havens, not always safe necessarily because they certainly have been volatile as of late, but they are certainly safer alternatives to the paper debt-based monetary system that we find ourselves living in today. Real things. Things that will not break down, things that cannot be printed. So we're talking about real things here when we talk about PACE investing. And it is really an honor to have our next guest on the program because he has written a book that I think really nails this topic better than I've seen many books do because he delves directly into each of these areas. Of course, I'm speaking about New York Times bestselling author Charles Goyette. The book is The Dollar Meltdown: Surviving the Impending Currency Crisis with Gold, Oil, and Other Unconventional Investments. Charles, it's an honor to have you on Follow the Money Weekly Radio.
Jerry, it's absolutely great to get a chance to speak with you, and thank you for introducing the dollar meltdown, because the year that just ended in 2011, what were the best performers in 2011? It wasn't the Standard & Poor's 500, which it ended literally flat, unchanged. It wasn't the Dow, which maybe showed 5.5%. The biggest performers last year were gold and oil. And as you know, and your audience knows, you know, we're very, very early in the process of currency calamity that the Fed has created. And even so, you know, the performers already are the things that you're talking to your listeners about.
One of the things that caught my eye, Charles, about your book, first of all, was the fact that you had several key names on here that I think all of us in the Austrian school or those who kind of believe that you can't fix debt with more debt. I saw a lot of their names on here. Jim Rogers, Lou Rockwell, who runs the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and then, of course, Ron Paul, who basically called this book a must-read. And so it certainly caught my eye. And then I also noticed that your book came out in 2009, about the same time ours did. And I think both of us, you know, I'm going back and revising mine now, and I noticed as I opened your book, you know, you said the federal debt was just under $10 trillion when I began writing. Didn't it feel like you were trying to nail Jell-O to the wall when you were writing that book?
Yeah. Because,
especially now, I mean, can you believe since 2009 it's gone from under 10 to now over 15?
It's incredible, and you're right. This is the slipperiest thing of all. It's even more slippery today than it was before, because now, you know, when they raise the national debt ceiling, it used to be, you know, they raised it, and they'd raise it by $800 billion or $500 billion or $1.2 trillion or whatever it was, and now they raise it in kind of a hidden smokescreen obscured package of incremental steps. You're right. I have a book coming out in March, and when I completed the manuscript, I had to talk instead about what the national debt was. I had to talk about the presumptive national debt ceiling. In an age that demands clarity, insight, understanding, and clarity, the way that Congress is managing our fiscal affairs becomes more muddled with each passing day.
Well, and I think, Charles, and you do point this out rather well in your book, and I do want to talk about your new book, your latest book that's coming out next year, early next year. But I want to bring out and point out that you do a great job, especially in the early parts of this book, explaining that it's not necessarily a Barack Obama phenomenon that we went from $10 trillion to $15 trillion, because underneath George Bush from 2000 to 2008, we went from $5 trillion to $10 trillion. So instead, it's an overall Washington, D.C. problem. Elaborate on that just a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And it's a question of how long reasonable people like us, and by us, I mean the American people, I'm not talking about the political classes or the governing classes, but how long do they think we can go along deficit financing the warfare state and the welfare state? You know, it was a very clever game when they first started creating it because it enabled them to buy votes and to, you know, pass the expenses on to children that aren't yet born. But you can't do that forever. At some point, you know, the money runs out. And then once the money runs out, you still may have a credit line, but eventually the credit line runs out, and that's what we're faced with now. So they have stretched this rubber band as far as it will go, and the consequences are very, very ugly for the American people.
You know, I'm in one of those camps that I really can't win because I want less government, and the conservatives think that I'm a liberal, and the liberals think I'm a conservative. You face similar problems?
Well, of all of my life.
Am I speaking your language?
I mean, people have to understand, George Bush came into office with special favors for the steel industry, and he left office with the largest bailout of the bankster classes in the history of the United States of America. So this is how we manage government responsibly. This is the party that needs to be chosen for their fiscal sobriety. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And they promise that they're going to still love you in the morning. If you just vote for them in November, they will love you and they'll be faithful to you, but it's an old game. And we, the American people, are responsible for it. We have taught the political classes for a couple of generations, this is how the process works, that you get elected and you get reelected and reelected and are reelected by giving the people things, by spending money that we don't have. And I'll tell you, Jerry, I call it the American pinata. And it's like this. The whole game involves getting the big stick, which is the presidency, for example. And so you have the national news media. They're like the mariachi band that plays festive music, tries to keep the spirits high. And then the big stick is passed around and, you know, one party wins and they pass the big stick to their supporters and the people whose affection they were able to buy with bills. And those people get a chance to whack at the American pinata and they hope to spill a few goodies on the ground. Then they dive down to the ground and start grabbing up the goodies that they knocked out of the pinata. And then the big stick, we have a big national election, and the mariachi band keeps playing, and the big stick gets passed to the other party. And the other party passes the stick around to their supporters, and they whack the American pinata some more. And it's all great fun, except for one thing. The pinata does not survive the bashing, and that is what they have done to America. For generations now, it's been about passing the big stick around and getting the most goodies you can out of the government.
That's an interesting way to look at it, an interesting illustration. I haven't thought about it that way, but that is exactly what's happening. And as you look at the current crop of Republican candidates that are up there, you know, we do see Romney, who many people feel is the most electable. We also point to Rick Santorum, and then, of course, Representative Ron Paul down in Texas, where I'm from. You obviously have a persuasion, because you're cut from this Austrian school, as such as we are, that Ron Paul represents, in many ways, the most conservative and most likely radical move back towards the Constitution. What are your views on Ron Paul? Why do you support him as a candidate?
You know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. He said to me, well, I think, you know, Romney would be a good candidate because of his business background, his experience, and, you know, we have economic problems in this country, and he's a man who's proven that he can yada yada. But I said, look, I've known Ron Paul for a long time, and I admire him. He is a man without peer among elected office holders in this country. But I tell you, I would not hire Ron Paul if I were going to do a leveraged buyout of Apple Computer Corporation. I would, because he doesn't know how to structure mezzanine financing, create, you know, a good package of subordinated debentures. That's not his business. I might hire Romney for something like that. But we are steeped in this country deep in a currency crisis. We have a global fiat money calamity unfolding in slow motion before our very eyes. The dollar reserve standard around the world that has been in force effectively since the end of World War II is melting away. It's ended as well before our very eyes. And so you would think that you would want somebody to head up the affairs of state that knows a thing or two about monetary policy, about the history of currency and credit, knows something about, and who demonstrably knows about this stuff. Let me see. There was one fellow in Washington that was warning us about all of this, the panic of 2008, the mortgage meltdown, the housing bubble, warned us about all of this stuff in advance. And so when the powers that be, Republicans and Democrats alike, and the Federal Reserve decided to do something about it, they turned to people who had not seen it coming. And this is the same sort of dilemma with somebody like Romney. He doesn't have a clue about these macroeconomic issues and about the nature of money and credit and the nature of the currency calamity that's unfolding before us. He might be really, really good at mezzanine financing in a corporate takeover. That's his area. Maybe he could go back to that.
Right. Well, and as you look at the debates that we've seen, you know, to ad nauseum, we've seen these debates surrounding Iran, gays in the military. They've talked about, you know, the homosexual, the marriage amendment. They've talked about some of these issues, which we hear about every single debate. But Charles, you know what's amazingly missing from this is the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that the Federal Reserve pumped into the global economy. And I haven't even heard the question asked on the stage. How can that not be at the center of all this debate?
You know, they are so shallow and they are obsessed with the horse race aspect of the camp. You remember earlier during the campaign where a crowd of reporters were shoveling and pushing and shoving voters in New Hampshire aside, roughing people up, frankly, and some reporter, I think from CNN, said to Congressman Paul, what about, you know, the lady there was, if she shook your hand, she would have supported you, but you didn't shake her hand. You know, this meaningless stuff. They're obsessed with this. It's as though America is a sporting event. Do they talk about the Federal Reserve acting as the central bank of the entire rest of the world and the disclosures that you have to wring out of them like pulling teeth about $7.7 trillion that they made available here and trillions to private companies and foreign banks that they made available there? Do they ask about these things, all of which Ron Paul has warned them about? Do they ask about those things that fundamentally impact our freedom and our prosperity? No. They ask him about what the size of his campaign budget will be in the state of Florida. It's unbelievable to me.
To me, it almost seems like, when are we going to have another Ron Paul, somebody who comes from that greatest generation who understood sacrifice and is willing to take on this nation? Who wants to lead this thing now? I mean, it is a mess. And he is here. He's willing to lead. And you see the population saying, yeah, but he doesn't want to bomb more countries. Are you serious? I mean, it really makes you wonder about the future of our nation. And considering that, I want to dive into the second part of your book, because what I love about your book is that while you do spend half of the book explaining the problem, which is very important because you can't understand the solution, you don't even know what the solution is until you know what the problem is. You have to know what the equation is before you know the answer. So you do provide the equation. You say, here's the issues. But then you spend the last half of the book saying, and literally it's called, what to do? And that is the question on everyone's mind now. And I want to go through briefly your thoughts as we move into 2012 on many of these. We can go rapid fire or we can take a few minutes and discuss them. But I want to first tackle your views on gold. You do talk about gold as being a safe haven. What are your thoughts for investors investing in gold in 2012?
I think they ought to take advantage of the depressed prices. You know, one of these days, not too distant in our future, nobody will really care what the price is in terms of dollars. They will just want some. In other words, instead of saying, I have so many dollars worth of gold, people won't even be using the dollar as the benchmark against which their investment or their holdings of gold. They will simply refer, the dollar will be irrelevant. They will simply refer to how many ounces of gold they have. So, I mean, I think it's imperative that every family should have some gold. And I'll put it this way. The world is constantly, the multinational organizations and the bureaucrats that have us into this swamp, they're constantly looking at new monetary schemes. The head of the World Bank came out with, well, we're going to have to get a monetary scheme that involves gold somehow as a sort of a benchmark or an indicator. Believe me, The only thing they're trying to do is get ahead of the curve. They don't want gold because it disempowers them, but they know that the American people are beginning to wake up. And Jerry, I've described it this way, that it's just like the story of the three little pigs, except in reverse. At one time in this country, we lived in a house made of bricks. And in fact, they were gold bricks, and it was a gold-based monetary system. And the authorities said, we're going to take all of your gold bricks. You're going to have to move now, and chased us into a house made of sticks. And we moved into this house made of sticks. And it was the dollar reserve standard, the Bretton Woods standard. And we moved into that. And it wasn't as good as a brick house. And we lived in it until it started falling apart in 1971. And we went fleeing. And they said, well, we're not going to be in this fixed dollar exchange rate, dollar standard any longer. We're going to be in a simple dollar standard, the dollar pegged against nothing, the dollar redeemable in nothing, just a flat-out fiat dollar system with no pretense of any redeemability, and they chased us into a house made of straw, and now we're in a house made of straw, and the winds of economic reckoning are blowing, and the American people are beginning to figure it out, and they're starting to long nostalgically for returning to our solid brick house, and here comes the head of the World Bank recognizing this and say, yeah, you know, maybe we need a gold-based monetary system. Well, if it ain't real gold that you hold in your hands, that you could redeem paper for, that you could hold, keep, take. It is another crock of invented, delusional monetary system made, instituted just to quell the public's apprehension. And I'm sure they have something like that on the drawing boards now as this crisis deepens.
Well, and I can envision some of these gold commercials that you see on Fox News or CNN or just any channel nowadays, and you see them talking about gold and how you need to have gold. And then inevitably, when you call into these places, you know, you're talking to some 18-year-old kid who just got out of a meeting that says, if you, you know, the more that you sell this particular coin, the more money you're going to make. And so people often get the bait and switch, and you really draw that out in your book. Explain why bullion is a better protector against hyperinflation than numismatics.
Yes. Let me put it to you this way, and I've seen this, I've seen people just left tearful when they find out they've made a huge, a substantial investment in gold, and gold prices have doubled and or quadrupled, and they're still behind the curve. They're still in a loss position after years of powerful moves in gold because some salesman looking to pay off his mortgage and send his kids to college at their expense lied him into buying the wrong thing. It comes down really to this. In a currency crisis, in an economic calamity such as lies dead ahead for us in the United States, when you need the staples of life, the things of survival, when you need to provide for yourself and your family, you're going to have a very, very hard time convincing the person that you need to acquire those from that he should take one coin instead of two if his price is two, because the one coin you're offering, somebody who collects coins likes that date. He's going to want the two coins that he priced his goods at. The universe of buyers in a calamity for those things falls. And in a rising precious metals market, the premiums that are attached to those things fall as well. In a period of want and deprivation, the market for the buyers of those things falls. The premium falls on them. The liquidity on them falls. So if people are understanding that they're buying precious metals, gold or silver, as a preservation of wealth and a currency in the event of a crisis, then they should buy bullion and bullion-type coins. And I go through all of this very carefully in the Dollar Meltdown. And it's fine if they, you know, if they want to be coin collectors and take coins out and look at them and read about them and, you know, study the history and the minting and so on. That's something different. But surviving the kind of economic calamity that the numbers tell us is unfolding right now in our lives, they need to get as many ounces of gold for every dollar or as many ounces of silver for every dollar they spend as possible.
Numismatics for coin collecting, bullion for hyperinflation, in essence.
You bet.
Okay, got it. All right. Now, how about silver? You get into silver as well. You do a great job explaining kind of the history of how this all began back when the Hunt brothers tried to corner the market and actually did, almost. And then you talk about ways to buy silver. Are you more bullish on silver than you are gold?
You know, I'm not very clear on it, but I think I am. I mean, my heart tells me right now that silver is powerfully attractive at these levels. And, you know, a couple of the other things that are going on in the economy, I mean, the Federal Reserve is moving heaven and earth now to, not to, of course, to solve our monetary problems, but to transfer the problem from one of unemployment to one of rapidly rising prices. And I was just looking at the M2 money supply figures the other day. Well, in the prior year, 2010, M2 grew about, I think it was about 3.5%. In 2011, the last year to end 2011, M2 grew by closer to 9.5% or 10%. So they're really goosing the money supply. Oddly enough, far be it from me to say it's in time to make the economy look much better and unemployment to be down in time for the election. But it seems to be what they're doing. They're really driving it now. That means the appearance of a recovery, and that means what looks like the beginnings of an industrial recovery, and that means increased industrial demand for silver at the same time that its monetary appeal is becoming very, very clear to people all over the world. So there you have it. You know, if you have some renewed industrial demand for silver with the goosed, cocaine-crazed economy of the Federal Reserve, at the same time the world is starting to remember silver as a monetary commodity, then you have, I think, a powerful case for substantially higher prices.
Yeah, and you make some good core recommendations here in the book as well in that chapter on how to buy. And again, we go back to bullion. Let's move to oil for a minute, energy. As people look to gain exposure to oil in their portfolios, what were some of your ideas in the book?
Well, it's very hard, in my view, to do oil in the same sort of way that you can do gold and silver. It's a little more cumbersome, and so gold and silver have to be, your first avenue of preparation. And then, next, I think oil would certainly be next. It's cumbersome. I think in other eras gone by, that you can participate in the oil move and the world's growing demand for petroleum, and the unwillingness, this is the key issue, the unwillingness of foreign oil producers to continue to sell their appreciating commodity. They're appreciating the petroleum that is demanded by people in growing amounts all over the world every day for a depreciating currency, a paper currency that can be printed at the price of paper and ink, are actually just created by somebody hitting a keystroke with a digital bookkeeping entry. So, if you understand that, you understand petroleum prices are going to go up, if nothing more than to reflect the decline of paper currencies around the world and the decline of the dollar reserve standard. OPEC oil is priced in dollars because of our reserve standing around the world. So ideally, you would be able to do what you do with gold and silver and buy a whole bunch of oil and put it in your backyard or your safe or whatever. I mean, you just can't do that. It doesn't work that way. So why not energy stocks? Why not oil stocks? Well, my view is that we are increasingly in an age of nationalization of resources. I mean, we saw a flurry of nationalization during the panic of 2008. We saw Hugo Chavez in Venezuela calling Bush, Comrade Bush, for nationalization of the banks and the automobile companies and the insurance companies and so on and so forth. In a crisis, which is what we're talking about, preparing for, in a crisis, oil companies, I mean, this country, look, has nationalized every kind of country, every kind of industry in the past, and people have introduced bills in Congress for years about nationalizing energy companies and oil companies. So I while it might seem attractive to invest in oil stocks, energy stocks, I'm not sure that America is a trustworthy and reliable environment to do that. So the best thing I've been able to really recommend is maybe exchange-traded funds that hold oil.
I was really surprised to see your book on page 188. You talk about how the dollar is, of course, the currency of choice for oil, and that, of course, is known as the petrodollar system. And that's something we wrote about in our book. We wrote a whole chapter on the coming breakdown of the petrodollar system and how eventually that would cause, issues, obviously. But you hit it in your book, and I was surprised because many authors just seem to gloss over that, or they just either don't know about it. We wrote several articles on the petrodollar system, and one of our readers pointed it out to me the other day. They said, if you Google petrodollar system, FTM Daily takes up 5 of the top 10 searches. And I went there, and sure enough, I said, wow, this topic is not really being discussed that much, but you do tackle it in a few pages. What is your view on how that could impact the dollar?
Well, it's already unfolding in slow motion. The whole world is desperately trying to find alternatives for the dollar reserve standard. I mean, look, they see us printing this stuff willy-nilly. It's not lost on them that the monetary base since 2008 has climbed from $800 billion to just off the top of my head, about $2,800,000,000,000. I mean, they've blown up the monetary base by $2 trillion. None of these things can be done cost-free. I mean, this is essential understanding of economics, is there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. If they're going to boost the monetary base by $2 trillion, you may not see the effects yet, but there will be effects. And the rest of the world sees this. They understand what we're doing. They understand that the Obama administration, just like Republicans have done before and Republicans and Democrats will do in concert, will kill the dollar to try to create the appearance of a return to prosperity in this country, as odd as that sounds. The dollar reserve standard is breaking down all over the world. Last couple of weeks, China and Japan, and this is going on around the world as well, created a new bilateral agreement that instead of, as they have historically, pricing one another's goods in dollars, meaning that the buyer has to go into the markets to acquire dollars to buy the goods from the other country, they are starting to find ways to do commercial activities in their own currencies. China is developing these agreements with Russia. You've got the Gulf Cooperation Council creating currency alternatives. The whole world is looking for alternatives because these central banks and governments don't mind defrauding their own people with fiat currency, with fiat money, but they don't want to be defrauded by ours. So this is breaking down, and you know, Jim Grant put it pretty well. He said, if you had a country that was able to get the rest of the world to go along with owning its currency as its reserve currency. So once, like, countries, central banks, even like our own, used to hold gold and issue their own currency against the gold that they have in the central bank or treasury vaults, they began to hold U.S. dollars and issue their currency against their reserve of U.S. dollars. If you can convince the rest of the world to do that, might not be the lucky country that issues that currency, in this case the U.S. dollar, spend a little more freely, maybe embark on a war or two needlessly that it really otherwise couldn't have been afforded, might not be able to be willing to run up debt because, after all, you've created an artificial demand for your currency all over the world. That's all very true. It has been a boost to our standard of living and the prosperity of this country to have the rest of the world bidding for dollars constantly, driven up the market rate as in any other market or auction a number of new buyers would. And so the result of this beginning to unwind as it is now is a lower standard of living for the American people, people around the world looking for other mechanisms other than the dollar in which to price their goods and services. And since I started off quoting Jim Grant, the author of Jim Grant's Interest Rate Observer, let me finish with him by saying Jim Grant says there is only one answer to the question, if not the dollar, what? If not the dollar, what? There's only one answer to that, and that answer is gold.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And many people don't realize that, you know, the artificial demand that's created for the dollar gives the permission slip to the Federal Reserve to print lots of money. And so, like you're saying, if they lose that permission slip, down goes the standard of living for Americans. You also tackle agricultural commodities in here, and we're running out of time, but we want to try to tackle a little bit of this. Good idea for individuals to be investing in agricultural commodities in 2012?
Well, it's the same thing that we've talked about. It's not something that you can hold on to in your pantry. I mean, I guess you could have some dry food and food storage. By the way, Jerry, I just noticed the other day that chain stores, big ones like Costco, the warehouse store, and Walmart and stuff, are now stocking preparedness foods. Freeze-dried buckets and bulk preparedness storage foods. Something that big is going on in this country, and people are beginning to realize it. And by the time you get places like Costco warehouses and Walmart, you know, stocking their shelves for this thing, it gives you an idea of the kind of demand of the widespread realization that the message that we've been talking about is beginning to take hold. But yeah, I mean, clearly, if you had your choice between depreciating paper money or fiat paper money and real assets of any kind, tangible assets if they're agricultural ones, tangible assets if they're raw materials, the preference, of course, is always something tangible in the era of a currency crisis. My old friend Jim Rogers says, you know, in the next 10 years, he said, instead of investment bankers in New York driving Maseratis, it's going to be farmers. That's how bad the agricultural sector is prepared for the future.
That's something. One of your final chapters, you talk about alternative currencies, foreign currencies. And, you know, many people would say, well, you know, if the dollar is going down against gold, and doesn't that mean all currencies are going down? But you do nevertheless talk about currencies here, foreign currencies. What are your thoughts on those as we head into the new year?
Well, I'm not friendly to any of them. It becomes rather confusing for the average American to follow this thing because they'll turn on the, you know, the financial TV or the financial pages on the internet and stuff, and they'll hear the dollar is up, the dollar is down, the dollar is performing well. Look, all of these currencies are losing value. all of the currencies, there is not a redeemable gold-based currency in the world. The last one was, I think, the Swiss franc had a statutory backing of 40% gold. Lebanese pound did at one time. There's nothing like that left. All the currencies of the world are fiat irredeemable currencies. And so they trade up and down. They, you know, one sinks at one rate and one sinks at another, and they go up and down against one another. And so the talking heads on financial TV say, well, the dollar's way up. It really isn't. It's like saying the Lusitania and the Titanic are both sinking. One's descending at a 14-degree rate, and the other's descending at a 17-degree rate. So one is way up. They're not up. People go to work. People get up in the morning when the alarm clock rings, even though it's cold and they'd rather stay in bed. People save for the future. They cash their paychecks. The only reason people save and work is for the what those dollars will buy them. Not for their exchange rate against another sinking currency, but what those dollars will buy them. And the real living experience of people today is that they will buy them less and less. Look, the cost of government's gone up. The cost of education's going up. Cost of medicine's going up. Cost of insurance is going up. Now you start looking at the cost of cattle last year, the cost of milk last year, the cost of, I mean, you just begin to look at the staples. The cost of gasoline was up, I think, top of my head, 20 cents a gallon from December 30 to December 30 last year. It was up 63 cents a gallon the year before that. People work for what their dollars will buy them. Their dollars will buy them less and less and less. And so the, you know, if some talking heads, oh, the dollar's way up, it's a favored currency, it's nonsense. The purchasing power of the currency continues to decline. All currencies.
All right. Well, Charles, you have a brand new book coming out. It's going to be coming out next year. Tell us the title. Tell us what it's about.
Thank you, Jerry. It's very kind of you. In March, we'll release my new book. It's called Red and Blue and Broke All Over. And it's an ambiguous title, Red and Blue and Broke All Over, Restoring America's Free Economy. But it means that the country is insolvent. The country's bankrupt. So that's the red, but it's actually, the red party is bankrupt and the blue party is bankrupt as well. And as long as we follow their advice and as long as you know, we stick to their talking points, our financial situation is going to get much, much worse. You would think that people would have noticed over the long sweep of history, or if not over the long sweep of history, just at the difference across national borders. We had a living laboratory in East Germany and West Germany. Look at the difference in prosperity between North Korea and South Korea, that where people are free, they are more prosperous. And that is really the essence of this book, I think, is very timely. If the American people would like to restore America's prosperity, if they'd like their kids to have a better life, if they'd like to see a revival of the American dream, that means, you know, a better future, a secure retirement, a better future for your kids, good jobs and opportunities, they need to look at the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue at the heart is the state of freedom in America today.
Wow. You ever miss doing radio?
I've started. You know, I did morning radio for so many years that I've enjoyed being off for a couple of years so that I could sleep in and lead a normal life right. with my family. But I'm kind of beginning to get the bug again, Jerry.
Are you? Yeah. You were known as America's most independent talk show host. I know many, many people enjoyed your radio program and your website, charlesgoyette.com. Spell that for us, would you?
Yes, Charles Goyette, C-H-A-R-L-E-S, Charles Goyette is G-O-Y-E-T-T-E, charlesgoyette.com.
You can go there or you can go to ftmdaily.com. Scroll down, you'll see his name right in our links section, and you can click on his website. I encourage you to go there, check out some of the stuff that he has, good news and articles and information about his book, The Dollar Meltdown, Surviving the Impending Currency Crisis with Gold, Oil, and Other Unconventional Investments. Charles, I feel like I've made a friend on this interview, very kindred soul, so I really appreciate having you on the program and would love to have you back on whenever your new book comes out.
Jerry, that would be absolutely delightful. I just enjoyed visiting with you so much, and I'd be honored to be a guest on your show anytime you'll have me.
If you're not an FTM insider, you're missing out on all of this.
The weekly conference call, insider tips and advice, FTM quarterly, access to the FTM investment portfolio, and much, much more.
Join now for only $9.95 per month or $99 a year.
Sign up at FTMDaily.com.
Who can you trust nowadays with your money?
A Christian financial advisor may be the answer.
Visit our website for more details at www.cfanetwork.org.
Welcome back to Follow the Money Weekly.
And here's Jerry Robinson.
Okay, welcome back to our final segment, FTM Weekly Radio, on the web at ftmdaily.com. My name is Jerry Robinson, founder and editor-in-chief over at FTM Daily, and so glad that you're here joining me. One quick announcement to let you know about. If you have not been participating in our Email Marketing 101 for Business webinars, oh, you're really missing out. For $4.95, you can buy the entire series. All five of the webinars are part of that package, and we're conducting those live. So if you're a business owner and you're currently looking at possibly taking your business online, or you're wanting to develop your email list, or if you currently have an online business and you just have not discovered the power of email marketing, we go into it extensively in this five-session webinar series. We're currently on week three, so this is lesson three, and we're going to be talking about quite a few things. Last week, we talked about how to build your list. This time, we're going to be talking about what to put in your newsletter, what to put in your list, what to put in your email. You know, what do people want to hear? What do they want to see? What do they want to read? Well, that's a very important question. You've always got to be providing value, and you've always got to be providing content that people want to see and that they look forward to receiving. So we'll be talking about that in the upcoming webinar. If you're not currently a part of that, you can go to our website, click on our store button, and you can sign up for $4.95. You'll get all those. You'll get access to that. Plus, you'll get a lot more. We've provided a few interesting links to some resources that you'll probably really enjoy if you're in small business for yourself, especially if you're trying to take your business online, or if you're already in the internet business itself, you would benefit from that as well. So anyway, I want to now turn to John Burrs. John got a reader or a listener question about, is it too late to put money into their IRA for 2011? Is it too late to make a contribution? So with that answer, let's head over now to this week's Retirement Minute.
All right, where's my money?
Money.
Daily Bread.
Follow the Money Weekly presents the Retirement Minute.
Oh no, it's January, and I forgot to make my 2011 contribution to my IRA. Is it too late? The answer to that is no. Generally speaking, the IRS allows you to make your IRA contribution for a particular tax year up until April 15th of the following year. This rule applies to both traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs, giving you some flexibility in terms of the timing of your annual IRA contribution. In year 2010 and 2011, you can contribute a total of $5,000 a year to all the IRAs you own. In addition, if you're age 50 or older, you can make an extra catch-up contribution of $1,000 for year 2011. So as you prepare for future years, don't forget that you can make your annual IRA contribution in a series of payments rather than in one lump sum. For example, let's say you want to invest the maximum amount in your IRA for year 2012. You can either make a lump sum contribution of $5,000, or you can set a savings plan whereby you invest a fixed amount each month in your IRA. Because you're allowed to spread your 2012 IRA contribution over a 15.5-month period, you can invest as little as $322.58 per month and still end up contributing the full $5,000. And thank you for joining me this week for your Retirement Minute.
All right, well, John Burrs is a retirement specialist within the Christian Financial Advisor Network. That's on the web at www.cfanetwork.org. If you're looking for a trusted financial advisor, someone who can help you in your investments, or if you're looking for a trusted Christian lawyer, an attorney, or a Christian real estate agent, simply go to cfanetwork.org, fill out the free brief online form, and someone from your area will be in touch with you within 3 business days. All right, friends. Well, believe it or not, that brings us to the end of our program. Thank you so much for choosing to allow me into your life each and every week. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be a part of your life as well. And as always, I leave you with this final word, this time on the topic of inflation, spoken by the notorious Voltaire, when he said, "Paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, zero." Just something to think about. Remember, friends, when you want the truth about the global economy, just follow the money. Have a safe and prosperous week, and I'll see you right back here next weekend. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on Follow the Money Weekly do not necessarily represent the views of FTMDaily.com or Makers Group Financial, LLC. Even though these are proven strategies, Jerry Robinson is not a financial advisor, and his guests are not legal or tax advisors. You should always consult a trained financial advisor and or tax advisor before making any financial decisions. John Burrs is a registered representative of and does offer securities through Sycor Securities Incorporated. Lifetime Decisions Management Incorporated is not a subsidiary of nor controlled by Sycor Securities Incorporated.